Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. You'll see the words on the screen. You can follow along your Bibles. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wife, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you for each one who has been involved in our service today. It is great to be here today. I've been here about 3 months now, and thank you for welcoming me into your church. So hopefully I can be here 3 years more, and maybe I can be here 13 years more, and maybe I can be here 30 years more, which would make me almost 75 years old. And then hopefully I can continue to do the kids camp in my 70s and in my 80s. I'm wondering today if you have received a message or a misunderstanding recently. Maybe you can relate to a guy named R.D. Jones. Things for him went from bad to horrible when he was selling his sewing machine with the help of his housekeeper. So on Monday, the newspaper ad wrote, "For sale, R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale. Phone 948-0707 after 7 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him cheap." That wasn't the right message. So not to be outdone, there was the following correction the next day. So on Tuesday, "We regret having aired in R.D. Jones's ad yesterday. It should have read, 'One sewing machine for sale, cheap. Phone 948-0707 and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him, after 7 p.m. That wasn't the right message. So not to be outdone, there was the following correction the next day. On Wednesday, "Notice, R.D. Jones has informed us that he has received several annoying telephone calls because of the error we made in his classified ad yesterday. His ad stands corrected as follows. For sale, R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale. Cheap. Phone 948-0707 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who loves with him." That wasn't the right message. So, finally, there's one last message. One final correction. So, on Thursday, it reads, "I, R.D. Jones, have no sewing machine for sale. I smashed it. Don't call 948-0707 as telephone has been disconnected. I have not been carrying on with Mrs. Kelly until yesterday. She was my housekeeper, but she quit." You can relate to R.D. Jones. In fact, maybe you're confused today with what message God is giving you today. This is my first time preaching here, as you can see. So you may be confused with what God is telling you today. Maybe you're saying, "God, what do you want me to do? What's your will for me in this situation? What are you saying to me? I need some clarity. I need some direction. Well, in our text, not only is Daniel front and center, let me give you a bit of some background. So King Belshazzar is the son of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar has already seen Daniel, and Daniel has proved his credibility to Nebuchadnezzar. Belshazzar is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And in Aramaic terms, the son could also mean grandson, descendant, or successor. So Daniel has been around for a long time. He's been around for generations. And he's the man. He's the guy who everyone goes to. He's the voice in a pagan culture. And everyone goes to Daniel because he's a man of God. He's larger than life. He's the big man on campus. He's bigger than Kawhi Leonard. Sorry, I had to say that. I know he left Toronto. I know there's some basketball fans here. But he's larger than life. By the way, Kawhi is a really good guy. I love that cross he sports on his arm, that cross tattoo. Good humble guy. But getting back to our story, Belshazzar is having this grand party. And if you can imagine this room times five or six, so like a big auditorium, huge place where they gathered and they had a party with not just a few people, but there's 1,000 people. And they're partying and they're having a nice get together with a number of people. There's music, there's dancing, they have their spirits in their goblets, but they didn't know that the Spirit of God was there. And so the fingers of a man's hand had appeared and started writing on the wall. And of course, King Belshazzar, his face goes pale. His knees start shaking. There's drama that is already ensuing. And the plot thickens as the hand starts writing on the wall. And this is what it says. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. In Aramaic, it is probably in more fancy lettering. Mene means numbered. Your days are numbered, is what God had been saying to Belshazzar. Tekel means weighed. Belshazzar was being weighed in the balances, and he's being judged. Parson, the plural of peris, means divided or divisions. Your kingdom is divided. That same night was Babylon's downfall. The Medo-Persian armies marched into Babylon. So they slew Belshazzar, and they seized world domination. Belshazzar was judged by God for his corrupt and worldly lifestyle. And similarly, God is judging us in this world that we live in. And God is judging us with maybe some of the things that we're going through in our lives. Maybe Mene for us is idolatry. And God is saying to us, do away with any idols. I am the one true God. Serve me and me only. Maybe Tekel means materialism. And maybe we're being judged today because of our materialism. Maybe we're being judged because we have this apathy in our lives where it's okay to go to church, but it's hard for me and I don't want to live for God during the week. This apathetic attitude. Or maybe God is judging us today in our sin. Maybe this lust that consumes us, that destroys us, that takes us away from our focus on God. And maybe many today is our lust of the flesh that many of us have a problem with. Even as Christians, we have this lust of the flesh that eats us up. Maybe it's the lust of greed, where we think just about ourselves. And it's hard for us to think about other people. And God is judging us with our lusts and our consuming thoughts that are selfish. Maybe it's a lust of power or prestige that God is judging us with. And today, God is saying, this is not who I am. Quite often when we sin, it's an ugly cycle, isn't it? It's an admission of sin. It's an acknowledgement of sin. And then we recognize that we have sinned. But we say, well, it's okay. There's denial. There's manipulation. And Satan twists that sin, and he says, it's okay. And then the cycle goes on, and there's guilt. We feel guilty. And then maybe there's repentance. God can break through that cycle of sin today. God can break through that apathy. That apathy that says, it's okay the way I'm living right now. God can break through that. God can break through any addiction with the help of a Christian brother or sister. God can break through that. And today, let us be reminded that our God is not just our God of judgment, but God is our God of love. God loves us so very much. He loves us with an undying, unconditional love. And that's really why he came on this earth, because he wanted to show his love for us. So today, our writing on the wall is clear for us today. We are judged, and he also calls us to love, obedience, and devotion. God loves us so very much that he wants us to experience and know God's love. Like it says in God's word, that we were still sinners, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so God judges us, but he wants us to know what love is. He wants us to know that there's a life worth living, that we can be obedient to his will, to his teachings, and we can devote ourselves to what he really wants. It's trusting and obeying what God wants for us. There's that hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So praise God today that we're not just convicted by our sin and God judges us, but God gives us a life worth living. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. God erases the sin in our lives and we can have a new start in him. We can be purified of our sin. And that's why we're called born-again Christians, because we're born again each day. When we wake up in the morning, we say, God, thank you that I can have a new start and I can have a fresh start in you. Thank you that I'm born again in you and I can give my life to you and you fill me and purify me in your spirit. So it's a matter of coming to him daily and saying, thank you, God. Work in me, purify me, and let me experience your forgiveness. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. So let us today love God through his Son. It's not just a knowledge of what God has done for us, that he has received, we can receive him as Lord and Savior of our lives, but it's trusting and obeying. It's our confidence in our devotion. And I believe today that if we do this, we can experience love and victory in our lives. We can experience a whole better life. God has given us the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, Jesus says when he came on this earth, I have come so that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. So let's claim this abundant life We are judged by our sin. The Spirit convicts us of our sin. But we can say sorry. We can confess our sins. And we can move on and continue to live in Him, in the victory that is before us. We can claim this victory. One day there was a prairie chicken who found an egg and sat on it until it was hatched. Unbeknownst to the prairie chicken, the egg was an eagle egg. It was abandoned for some reason. That's how an eagle came to be born into a family of prairie chickens. So while the eagle is the greatest of all birds, soaring above the heights with grace and ease, the prairie chicken doesn't even know how to fly. In fact, prairie chickens are so lowly that they eat garbage. So predictably, the little eagle, being raised in a family of prairie chickens, thought he was a prairie chicken. He walked around, he clucked around like a prairie chicken, and he ate garbage. One day, he looked up to see the majestic bald eagle soar through the air, dipping and turning. And he asked his family, what is that flying up in the air? His family said, it's an eagle. But you can never be like that because you're just a prairie chicken. Then they returned to pecking garbage. Well, the eagle spent his whole life looking up at the eagles, longing to join them among the clouds. It never occurred to him that he could just lift his wings and try to fly. And sadly, the eagle died thinking he was just a prairie chicken. Friends, we are born to fly. God's writing on the walls in our lives is clear. To love God, to obey and devote ourselves to God, as He can show us what life is all about. Do you ever feel that there's something more to life than what you are experiencing? The next time you feel stagnant in your faith, maybe you feel apathetic in your faith, look up. Grab this faith. Keep your head up high and fly. God wants you to be all that you were created to be. See, we are sometimes like Belshazzar because we are corrupt and worldly. But our God is not just our God of judgment, but of love. God says, I can give you a life worth living. And as it says in our worship folder this morning, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. In other words, stop living like eagles who think they are prairie chickens. You are no longer ignorant. You know who you are and what you are. You are born again through the living and enduring Word of God. Now live that way. Spread your wings and fly. Well, you may be here thinking, well, I'm not corrupt. I'm not worldly like Belshazzar. So this message is not for me. Worldliness is anything in this world that takes us away from our focus on Christ. Maybe there's things in our lives that consume us, that we can be obsessed with. It takes us away from our focus on Christ. What's an example I can give? Maybe for our young people. Maybe it's video games or social media. Because this can consume your life. We live in a world today where it's just plugged in. We're always plugged in. I was walking on the sidewalk the other day, guy just on his phone playing video games, oblivious to those walking to and from him. These devices can consume you. Maybe you're on your device on the couch or on the dining room table. And also as you're eating, it's hard to put it down, right? I know this world that we lived in, we're plugged in. And that's just one example of how things of this world, they can consume us. They can take us away from our focus on Christ. We are easily distracted. We are easily tempted. And just like what I mentioned earlier, there's things in this world that takes us away from our focus on Christ because our flesh is weak. But greater is the one who is in you than he who is in the world. So let not these things take us away from learning about the Bible, growing in the Bible, enduring in his word, praying to God, and maybe even these things take us away from our family. Maybe these things take us away from what's really important. Well, you may be here and you may be thinking, well, I am obedient. I go to church. This is my time. For you, going to church may be enough obedience for you. Well, there's a huge difference between just going to church and living for God. Going to church is not just a matter of convenience. Well, maybe I'll go to church today because it can fit into my schedule. I have nothing on today. Maybe you're here today because it fit into your schedule and it's a matter of convenience. It's not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of commitment. That we know what Christ did for us and we are committed to coming to God's house to worship him on the Sabbath and growing in him during the week. Going to church is not a matter of convenience, but a choice. It's saying, I want to come to this church and worship you, God. I want to come and maybe raise my hands to you in worship of you. I want to come boldly to the table and remember you in communion. I want to come and I want to grow and let this word infiltrate my life and change my life. I have small ears, so I think this is the reason. Back to my train of thought. Church is not just a matter of practice, like a weekly practice, but it's a matter of persevering. Perseverance in the gospel. Persevering, even though our friends, maybe our coworkers, don't believe in Jesus, but we're persevering in him and letting God change us weekly as we come to church, as we grow in God's word. Coming to church is not just a practice, like a weekly practice, but it's a purpose for living. Coming to church is not just a practice, but it's a passion. It's saying, God, I want your word to change my life from the inside out. Let's do away with these thoughts of apathy where we say, it's okay that I live this way and maybe I'm too busy. Apathy is saying to God, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it. And that's the definition of sin too. A definition of sin is saying, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it. So sin is saying, I know I'm supposed to read the Bible, but I'm too busy to do it. That's apathy, and that's a sin. And apathy and sin is saying, I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy in my life to have a quiet time with the Lord, even though we are told in his word to be still and to commune with him regularly. Let's do away with these thoughts of apathy. True living comes only through obedience. Obedience to God's plan. Chuck Swindoll said this. Greece said, be wise. Know yourself. Rome said, be strong, discipline yourself. Religion says, be good, conform yourself. Epicureanism says, be sensuous, satisfy yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Psychology says, be confident, assert yourself. Materialism says, be possessive, please yourself. Asceticism says, be lowly, suppress yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Christ says, be unselfish, humble yourself. So let us love God today. Let us obey God. Let us devote ourselves to God. And then we could be unselfish and share love with those around us. Then we will truly be renewed in the Spirit, and we could be lifted and be strengthened by God. Speaking of egos, here's a great verse from Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Belshazzar got one final message. That was his final message before his life was taken. Today, I don't think it's our final message. If it's my final message, then God, take me home to be with you. But our message today has some finality in it. Just last night, I was talking with someone at the gas station. I was filling up my car with gas, and I was talking with a fellow Filipino. And I was exchanging pleasantries with him, and I brought up the idea of going to church. And this Filipino friend of mine, someone I had never met before, her response to me was, I don't want to go to church because there's too many hypocrites. Our message is crucial today. It is critical that we live out this message. It has a finality to love God and love people. One life, only one life, will one day pass. What's done for Christ will last. So let us love God and love people today. Knowing God and touching lives is our mission statement. So I encourage us to continue to love God and take in this message and live it out in our lives. Know that you are loved, that God has loved you with an undeniable love, that we can receive him as Lord and Savior of our lives, give him the lordship that he deserves, and then take this message and be good and genuine Christians. The church has one too many hypocrites, and I pray that we would continue to walk and trust and obey and have faith, knowing that God is working in us. He's making us better people. And other people will be encouraged by our example. Let's sing about trusting the Lord and obeying with our hearts. Thank you, Rona.
Please rise as we sing hymn number 349, verses 1, 3, 4, and 5. The words will be up on screen. When we walk with the Lord in the glory he sheds on our way.
do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, nor a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says He will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and
please be seated.